You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Basically, we're talking on the show today about whether reality TV is ruining society or whether it's just a form of entertainment. It certainly seems to be showing no signs of slowing down at all. Mm-mm. With the popularity of shows like The Bachelor, Love Island, Married at First Sight, to name but a few, seemingly on the rise. So, Kelly, who did you talk to about this?
Well, I spoke to Professor Thomas Owen, who is a professor at UT, and he does a lot of research into media literacy, I suppose, and how we read media texts and what we receive from them. And so he's done some work on reality TV. So that's going to be a very good interview. But what about you? Who did you talk to first?
It's mine going first. That's why I was so confused.
No, you're going first.
Basically, I am unashamedly a huge fan of reality television, and specifically I've been watching the hell out of Love Island, both the Australian and the UK versions, over the past few weeks.
And what have you found?
That it's great. So I thought that to balance out this conversation, I would talk to a super fan of the genre. So I have had a chat with Jane Yee, who is the host of The Real Pod, a podcast all about reality television, produced by The Spinoff. And basically, we just had a little chat about why it's such great entertainment.
Well, because this is such an interesting topic, I feel like there's not many people that are indifferent. You either like it or you don't.
Yeah, I don't think people are casual watchers unless you just stumble across it and don't care what you're watching. But I think most people have an opinion on it and seem to be on either side of the debate.
So, you know, if you do have an opinion on it while you're listening to this interview, text us, 5395, tell us what you think, or go on Twitter, because we're going to be looking at the Twitter poll.
Yeah, very huge numbers coming into our poll, so we'd love to have some opinions on Twitter.
But here's Jane Yee talking about reality TV.
I think the very fact that it's pretty lowbrow is what attracts me to it. Like, it gives me a chance to just take my mind off the rest of my life and look at quite often the problems that other people are having. I know that sounds terrible, but it sort of reassures me that maybe things in my life aren't so bad after all.
And do you think it's a valid form of entertainment? I suppose that kind of explains why it might be, but what about it do you think makes it genuinely valid television?
Look, I think that whatever people want to watch is kind of valid. I know that, maybe it's a sad state of our society that what we feel like doing is sitting and watching other people do fairly boring stuff. But it's I don't know, I guess for a lot of us it's relatable. It's putting real people in situations that are usually uncomfortable or strange or exciting, that situations that we ourselves wouldn't be in. So we kind of watch those normal people very much like us and see them in those situations and I guess get to enjoy vicariously through them.
When you switch on TV, which for me is actually quite a rare thing, I feel like all I come across is reality television. Do you think we're at a breaking point and eventually it's going to kind of overload and people are going to stop watching it?
It's been such a long time. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's just evolving. So we go through various stages where, I don't know what even you'd consider the very first sort of reality TV, but we had that Big Brother type stuff, which was literally just watching people do stuff, and then there came sort of challenges and dating shows and, you know, more competitive elements and cooking shows and renovation shows. There's so many and there's so much stuff that's probably not even been tapped into yet. But we're also back, when you look at things like Love Island, back into that just watching people be people in an unusual situation thing. So I think it's just going in cycles and it will just constantly evolve.
Can it be dangerous?
Of course it can be dangerous, absolutely. But I think you have to accept some responsibility as a viewer of what you take on board with anything that you watch, whether it's reality or not. I think where it becomes dangerous is probably for the participants. So anyone who is signing up for a show really needs to think very carefully if they've got the wherewithal to be able to manage what's going to be thrown at them. But also, I guess, there's some onus on the producers as well to ensure that they cast people who are stable enough to cope.
What about for the viewers, particularly, I suppose, in terms of those Love Island Bachelor-esque shows where they potentially present quite a negative image about body or personality? Do you think that that can damage the watcher?
Look, honestly, I really don't. I think it has the opposite effect. So when you think about these shows, look at Heartbreak Island recently, where they had in that very first episode that sort of the popularity thing, and then someone was rated the most unpopular. And the public reaction to that was, there was a huge backlash to that. And I think that's the thing, is we often watch reality TV to remind ourselves of what we value and what we don't value and how society should be and how it shouldn't be. I don't think anyone who watches The Bachelor thinks that's a fantastic way to date, that they want to then go and compete for the affections of one gentleman along a line of a whole bunch of girls. That's not how, I don't know, people are smarter than that, you know? They watch it and they go, that's dumb, but it's entertaining. And I don't think they take that on board for their own lives. I think in terms of body image and that sort of thing, I mean, it's no different to magazines or anything else where you know, beautiful people are on display. But I don't necessarily think that reality TV shows any more amazingly attractive people than any other form of television.
Do you think it matters that it's possibly not reality, that it's manipulated and so heavily produced?
No, not at all. I think we are smart enough to know that by now. There's been so much talk about it, so many articles written, so many behind-the-scenes things done. It's no one genuinely thinks that stuff is real. And I think when we, for example, when we do our podcast and we dissect the characters and things that we've seen, we kind of refer to them as characters. We know that there are puppet masters involved in storylines that are manipulated, and I think everyone watches knows that as well. And when we dissect that stuff, we say, look, we are talking about what has been edited and presented to us, not the reality of what these people are actually like as people, because we don't 100% know that from what's been shown, but, you know, just what's been presented to us. And so in that way, it is almost like not reality at all. I think the term reality TV, it just should be like real people TV rather than reality, because it's not reality, it's just real people.
I better ask, what should people be watching at the moment?
Oh gosh, it's really hard because I just was all in on Survivor and that's just wrapped up. I really, really enjoyed the second season of New Zealand Survivor. I've never really been a Survivor fan, but I was watching it just for the sake of the podcast that we do, which is the reality TV podcast for the spin-off, and I really got into it, and I'm just am dying for the next season already. But I'm an OG Batch fan, so I love The Bachelor, and Bachelorette just wrapped up in the US, and Bachelor in Paradise is about to kick off, so that's on TV New Zealand On Demand, so I will definitely be watching that. Honestly, I watch the trashiest of trashy reality TV. And I think I'm a fairly well-rounded human being. I'm raising three children. I'm doing okay, you know. So I think, is it dangerous? Maybe. What is it? I don't know. I just enjoy it. It's pure entertainment for me.
And finally, I feel like I should definitely give you an opportunity to plug the podcast.
Oh, yes. Well, we do a reality TV podcast. It has a few other weird bits in besides. But for the spin-off, so it's called The Real Pod. And you can find that on your favourite podcast app through iTunes. And if you want to know a bit more about it, just visit thespinoff.co.nz.
Rewire. Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wives. Wife. No one. They shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
So, did you agree? Are you watching the same shows as her?
I'm a huge fan of reality TV. I'm definitely have been watching Love Island, like I said. I've watched some of The Bachelorette in the US, and I'm actually it's quite good, but the episodes are like 90 minutes long, and it's like quite a lot to watch. So I haven't finished that, and I haven't watched Survivor, but I want to. So yeah, I mean, I've got to balance so many things, but reality TV takes up a lot of your time.
It's addictive. That's the thing. You watch one, and then you watch them all.
I think so, and I think some of them are just better than others because, like Jane said, I think it is quite a lot. It does come down to just watching people do stuff and kind of comparing it with your life. And
this is what I talked to Thomas, Professor Thomas Owen about, because he speaks about, is it a good form of entertainment? Because it is entertainment. Yeah, we know that. But is it a worthwhile form of entertainment, or is it kind of voyeuristic? Anyway, listen to what he has to say, because he talks a lot about voyeurism and surveillance. You are listening to 95BFM, and if you've got any thoughts, 5395.
There's been a lot of research into reality TV. It's really captivated the imagination of a lot of scholars. And reality TV has been around, if you like, since, you know, Candid Camera and early 40s and 50s. But most scholarship has looked at the 90s, the 2000s, and now. And what is the role of reality TV in society? What does it do to people and so on? I think the research could broadly maybe be around three different areas. One that looks at what reality TV does to its audiences. Does it ideologically manipulate them? Does it cultivate certain values in the audience? Another big area has been more theoretical and kind of looking, okay, where does reality TV fit in with wider society, not just as a TV genre, but what is it doing in relation to, say, surveillance or the current internet business model, for example. And another field has kind of looked more at just the industry itself and the labour conditions and other people actually making it exploited and so forth. So those are three broad ways where scholars have taken a critical eye at it and asked questions like, is this damaging for society in any way?
If we kind of go back to that audience perspective and how it's cultivating potentially negative behaviours in the audience, what kind of effect does it have on an audience just from people that kind of subliminally are taking in these messages?
Yeah, well, first of all, the caveat that it's really difficult to measure with real certainty what a media text is doing to its audience. You know, we've been struggling with this for decades and decades to pin it down. Just too many factors. But that said, some have, for example, gone to the audience and interviewed them about values, for example, around competition or ruthlessness or vanity or narcissism, and tried to make a connection to, you know, their viewing of reality TV. So one way to do this is an approach called cultivation analysis, where you look at quantity of the product being consumed, in this case reality TV, or different types of it, because, for example, Survivor has a different value set to, say, Dancing with the Stars. Or, you know, they might be similar in some ways and different in others.
Right.
And then to interview your audience about what their perceptions on the world are. One really interesting bit of research there, and I'm sort of hesitant to mention it because it's not a sort of high-brow academic research thing. It's actually done by the Girl Scouts Research Institute in the United States. And obviously they were interested about are our young women in the United States being influenced by this. So they did a cultivation analysis. And they found that the higher the reality TV viewers amongst their own Girl Scouts, so young women here, the higher their views were on it's appropriate to be ruthless against your peers. It's appropriate to lie, and if it gets you ahead. So some negative character traits that they found were positively correlated between the high reality TV viewers and their girls. Although, to be fair, they also found other things such as aspirations to leadership and personal ambition were higher in the high reality TV viewers.
So do you personally watch reality TV? Because there is a lot on at the moment.
There is a lot on. I don't watch it as a consumer for entertainment per se, but I'd watch it with an interest.
With a critical eye.
It's a big deal. Critical eye and also a sympathetic eye to say, okay, well, this thing's there. A lot of people clearly watch it. I mean, it's curious to say, because one really key thing to, I think, bear in mind with reality TV is it came out of a certain set of market conditions, largely in the United States, where the need arose for cheap TV. You know, it was during writers' strikes. It was during when the big networks were having, funding deficits for a variety of reasons. And reality TV was the cheap and easy one to get. So the fact that there's so much out there doesn't automatically suggest that it's so popular. You know, it's not necessarily a demand-based thing. There's a push factor here that it's easy.
And do you think, you know, obviously you're watching it with a critical eye because you've studied a lot in that field. Do you think people watching it as a form of entertainment, that can be dangerous because it can kind of warp their view of potentially relationships or, you know, certain aspects of life?
Yeah, I think it's worth anybody watching anything, you know, in this world we have to try and gain a level of media literacy to work out, okay, if I like this text, what is this doing to me? What are the values of this text? Do I agree with them? What's my relationship with this? And it's a pretty hard one to pinpoint, you know, is X, you know, media text changing me in certain ways? But I think if we look big picture with reality TV, there's a really interesting value set there. And I think one of the most compelling bits of research I personally find on it by a man named Mark Andrejevic is looking at reality TV as cultivating a positive disposition in the audience at large towards surveillance. He talks about it not in a sense of watching one show is going to do something, but looked at over the decades and the timing of reality TV, the waves of it in the 90s and the 2000s, his argument is this had a kind of strategic function to cultivate in the population a positive attitude towards surveillance, thus making us more likely to accept the higher levels of surveillance in our society now, not just government surveillance and state surveillance, but also the surveillance advertising-based business model of the Facebooks and social media. And I think that sort of thing, when you go, okay, what is this show doing to me in terms of my beliefs about watching other people, voyeurism, and being watched? Am I being encouraged here to view surveillance as fun, to view surveillance as the path to a better me? You know, in the sort of queer eye for the straight guy approach, to have people surveil me to help me be better, you know, enjoy being surveilled, but also enjoy surveilling others. You know, I think an audience member, that might be a, like, not the immediate place you'd go to watching your text when you're just at home trying to relax and watching something to sort of escape. But being aware of those values being promoted in the shows, that might not be so specific. You've got to think about it, go to the more connotational meanings of what's there.
Freedom of speech, it means you have to listen to me.
It's time to have your say. Pole Position on The Wire.
Oh, my God, I love that sting. I've never heard that before, and that is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Listen to that beat.
Whoa, this is amazing.
Hard-hitting news.
This is, seriously, this is probably our most hard-hitting poll we've ever had, and the results have been phenomenal.
So
the poll was, do you watch reality TV? 15 of you responded. We really appreciate it. And the results are pretty close, actually. And I'm surprised from BFM listeners. 47% of you say yes, you love it. And 53% say no way do you watch reality
TV.
That
is insanely close.
I know. And I think
that's not even, that doesn't even give room for a margin of error. That's pretty much 50-50.
And we should definitely be presenting these results to, like, TV3, TV1. I think they need to know that 47% of New Zealand love reality TV.
I mean, there's Colmar Brunton and then there's this.
There is the BFM Wire poll on Friday.
So it is half and half.
Pretty
it's
much.
Absolutely.
Although
half
we've
and
had
half.
A we've had a tweet in from someone who says everyone who voted no way is lying. And to be honest, especially that last interview we had where Thomas said that he watches it with a critical eye. I think he likes it. I think he does.
He doesn't.
I think everyone, I know my parents and my mum will probably be listening to this, that she will happily tell you how much she hates reality TV, but she watched all of The Bachelor, all of Married at First Sight.
My father will happily tell you how much he hates reality TV, and he'll get up and walk out of the room if it's on. A true hater. We have had a couple of texts and somebody said, does it encourage selfish and rude derogatory commentary about each other now as well, not just the stars of the show? Interesting point of view. An interesting thing to note is that reality TV exploded during the Screenwriters Guild strikes in the States. Big networks needed a way to make shows without proper writing staff, and reality TV was an easy and cheap way to do it. And that's why it'll stick around.
Yeah,
it's
and
so cheap.
I think it was quite interesting what Jane was saying about how it does sort of go in cycles, because Big Brother has been around for so long, but now, like she said, Love Island is basically Big Brother combined with other reality shows. It's the same thing. It's watching people do normal things. And
who doesn't love watching people do normal things?
And who doesn't love this sting and this sick beat?
I love that. You know what? Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for voting in the poll, because...
Yeah.
What a banger of a poll that was.
I know. You'll have to come back next week. I hope we get maybe 16 votes.
I don't know.
I think
we aim for 20. We aim for 20.
We strive. We aim high.
It's called Democracy, sweetie. Look it up.
That was Pole Position on The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.